Good morning. Joining us right now, Alan Bokhari. He's a senior technology correspondent for Breitbart News. A lot of tech news going on, so let's check in with Alan. Alan, good morning, sir.
Morning, Ben.
Really nice to have you. I want to talk to you about Facebook, because Facebook is getting intense scrutiny internationally right now for its relationship with a company called Cambridge Analytica, which it cut off on Friday. Cambridge Analytica, for those who don't know, was involved in the early days of the Trump campaign, supporting them during the primary process, and as has been pointed out by a bunch of people, including Byron York this morning, they were not a part of the general election effort to help Donald Trump's campaign work on Facebook. So with all of that out of the way, why is Facebook getting so much flack today?
So the allegation is that Cambridge Analytica were allowed to access data from Facebook that was obtained legitimately. So Facebook says that Cambridge Analytica were handed data by an academic who they allowed to gather psychological data on their users. And while that data was initially obtained legitimately, he was not allowed to pass it to Cambridge Analytica. Cambridge Analytica, meanwhile, deny that and say they did not use any Facebook data during the 2016 campaign. They did not use Facebook data to help Donald Trump. So there are two competing accounts there. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, the media is saying that that this constitutes a data breach or a data leak, which is something that Facebook denies. Facebook says the data was initially obtained legitimately by an academic at the University of Cambridge. It was simply by passing it on to a third party, to Cambridge Analytica, they violated that a policy violation occurred. So there are three competing versions of what happened at the moment.
Right.
But the underlying point is that everyone's worried about the amount of data that third parties, commercial entities, and political campaigns can access from Facebook and their users, and that's the real issue here.
So my question my confusion is, how can they access data from Facebook if Facebook doesn't sell it to them?
Well, the thing they can do is they can ask users to install apps or take surveys. So whenever you install a Facebook app, there's often a screen that comes up saying, you know, do you consent to give this app access to your data, access to your likes, your interests, your friend networks, and that's the way that third parties can access user data. And there are thousands and thousands of apps run by commercial entities, by individuals, academics that routinely gather Facebook data from users in this way.
Right. So what this story is really exposing is how ubiquitous this practice is. This idea that all of your personal data has been exposed to these social media companies and oftentimes exploited, however you view that, either as a pejorative or as a neutral matter, by companies looking to get in front of customers who they think match perfectly with their interests.
Absolutely. And there's a huge panic about the what they call micro-targeted ads, which is ads that are based on Facebook data, so it specifically target the interests of, you know, very small groups on Facebook, very small interest groups.
Yes.
But this is not, like, unique to Cambridge Analytica. This is not unique to the Trump campaign. The Obama campaign did it in 2012, and there are thousands of commercial entities that do it on a daily basis.
Now, actually, Alan, I want you to get into that because everyone's sort of freaking out about the Trump campaign and its relationship with Cambridge Analytica and the fact that they're pretty pretty good ninja skills on Facebook in terms of just getting access to people. But what about the Obama campaign in 2012? It turns out Facebook treated a very similar circumstance very differently.
Absolutely. There's clearly a double standard here. So yesterday we had Carol Davidson on Twitter, who was Obama's former director for media analytics. She oversaw the data operations in 2012. She came out and said that Facebook allowed them to take the entire social graph from the platform, and the social graph is the network of friends and connections that every user has. They were able to take that for virtually every American user and use that to target voters and target them with messages. And she said that Facebook were freaked out by this, but they didn't try and stop them. They allowed them to take that data. They didn't ask them to delete the data. And they even came to the Obama campaign's offices after the election and told them that they were allowed to do things that they wouldn't have allowed someone else to do. That's an exact quote from Obama's former media analyst. They were allowed to do things they wouldn't have allowed someone else to do because Facebook were on their side. on the side of Obama in 2012.
But this was not a secret. I'm looking right now at a piece from Time magazine dated November 20th, 2012, that outlines all of this, talking about how the Obama campaign connected with young voters and talks about Facebook and how they used data from Facebook to do this. And they're praising this as if it was absolutely brilliant thing to do.
Absolutely. So there's a double standard on the media here as well. I mean, because as you say, people knew that Obama used this data. I'm seeing a headline from The Guardian in 2012 right now called Obama, Facebook, and the Power of Friendship, the 2012 data election. So that's how they were framing it in 2012, this new innovative thing. It wasn't seen as a threat to democracy or this kind of dark art the way they're framing it now. It's only because I think the Trump campaign used data so effectively that there's now this huge panic because, as we know, in the mainstream media is very anti-Trump. Facebook is very anti-Trump. Many of their employees are. And so a lot of this panic over Facebook is happening. The reason it's happening now, it hasn't happened in previous years, despite the fact that this data collection has been going on for years and years, is because now Trump's using it, now conservatives are using it.
Alum, I want to ask
Obama
you.
Was using
yeah,
it,
Alum,
it
You're a technology reporter for Breitbart News, so I want to ask you about how you see the political winds shifting. I've seen conservatives over the past year and longer very concerned about social media companies censoring their conversations or not being so gentle with which conversations they choose to censor and maybe taking out conservatives in the process. And now liberals are freaked out because they believe that the Trump campaign may have gained an unfair advantage through the access to this personal data. Do you see liberals and conservatives kind of accidentally intersecting and going after these social media companies?
They're certainly both going after the social media companies. I would argue that the Democrats are actually doing it to a greater extent at the moment. But there's one thing that's being missed, which you brought up, which is the censorship and the targeting of conservative social media. And no one in the political sphere, no one in the mainstream media is really talking about that. So Facebook's last algorithm change in January specifically hit conservative media to a far greater extent than the liberal media. I believe the figure was conservative websites had their engagement cut. Engagement is likes, comments, and shares by around an average of 38% when you factor out Fox News, which is an outlier. President Trump's Facebook page, their engagement dropped by 45%, which is a huge, huge number, almost half. So Facebook are adjusting their algorithms in a way that that makes it much harder for conservatives to operate on the platform. It doesn't seem to be affecting liberals.
Alum, thank you. Alum Bakari, tech reporter for Breitbart News. Really appreciate it. We're going to leave it there. But here's the key takeaway. These companies have a lot of power. A lot of power. It's worth taking a look at them every so often. 7:15 now.